Cliffcentral.com
is the usual suspect, the immigrants. Zim Conversations. We are here once again. I've got more immigrants in the studio. Unfortunately, it's just me, KF, as your host. But I've got a spectacular immigrant here, one of the Ncubes. Typical. And these type of immigrants, when they come, they become one of them. They adapt because of the same Ncube.
Exactly.
And then he starts speaking Ndebele. It slowly changes to Zulu. Next thing, I'm not from Zimbabwe.
But he still doesn't know what the elbow means.
We don't know.
I've got the amazing Carl Joshua Ncube. Dude who's about to set a record in Guinness World Book of Records, man.
Yay. Cool. Yeah.
Welcome, Carl.
Dude, how are you doing?
Well, now that you are here.
You're using your show to actually bring the Zimbabweans in. This is now the equivalent of that train, you know, that was taking like slaves out of
it's bringing them in.
Not to say we're slaves. I'm not confirming or denying that we're an oppressed species. So we're just somewhere.
Somewhere in the gray area.
We're in a gray area. Yeah, somewhere between haters and imperialists. We're just there, in the mix with everybody else.
And then we've also got so the Kardashians have a momager.
Exactly.
We've got momager. Carl's wifeager. Is that what you call it?
I like that.
That sounds so bad. It's like a badger that's like crossed between a warthog and something. Yeah. So a wifeager. Like, I don't know. It's a very,
she does very good at wifeaging, though.
Yeah, wifeaging. She
I've been seeing her. She's posting. She's doing the calls, everything.
Dude, I wake up and I'm famous. It's weird. How did that happen? I was just a graphic designer.
He's a tough boss. Don't hear
That's
him.
Carl's wife, Nelsie.
Hey guys.
Welcome, guys. How's it going? So you guys have started and they have cameras here.
Yes.
Ladies
yes.
and gentlemen, the audience. Of the immigrant is once again on camera. I hope I'm going to come out somewhere.
The first ever immigrants reality TV show happening right
now. Yes, immigrant TV show.
Yes,
because Carl, I want to be on TV. No, I'm very serious. I want to be a part of this.
Yes.
This Guinness Book of World Record thing.
Exactly. And you're rocking the Ngomane Osho.
You see,
which is one of the coolest.
My brother Walter, can you see me? I'm shouting you out already.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm going to be very honest.
Yes.
I got back into Zim in 2009. I was coming from college. And I had issues. I have issues.
I was about to say you have. Can't say
I have issues, and I always express this on the show with the northern community in Zim, the northern suburbs, and then they get their one person who they like a lot,
right?
And then they start to push that person,
right?
So when I got into the country, I'm like, so I get to I think it was O'Hagan's, one of these funny bars,
right?
And I get with a group of friends, right? I knew one or two girls there. It was a click, right? I sit down, like, I'm introducing myself. He's like, this dude says, I'm 10 Diamond. I'm like, oh, 10 Diamond is like,
hey.
And then it's like, is that your real name? It's like, wait, what? And then everyone's like, you don't know 10 Diamond? I'm like, no, I don't know 10 Diamond.
You don't know
who the hell is 10 Diamond? And then I heard from Shami, very good friend of mine, Shamson Sariri.
Yes.
She talks about Carl all the time. I had never listened to Carl. I'd never heard him. I did not like you, Carl.
Yeah,
I'm very honest.
We love you.
Jeez, Shamiso.
Then I started to big. Carl Joshua and never heard of him. Hana Diri.
You need to go until, out more.
Well, for me, I was new. And the thing that I hated was this whole thing of northern suburbs. One person, because it doesn't always work out.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So there are people like 10. 10 is now my boy. We've done a lot together. And he's actually very talented. But I don't want to hear it in a small click of, if you don't know this person, how not deep.
No, so true.
But can these people be proven? So yeah. And be humble about it. You know what I mean? We've never met before. You came through and you're like, hey, how are you doing? You didn't say, oh my God, you don't know who
Joshua Ncube is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
until I watched, of course, I saw a couple of clips. I've seen you on stage a couple of times. I think my favorite time was at Anne Kansiime's show.
Oh, really?
Avondale.
I was in Zim at that point in time. Did, yeah.
Yeah. So then allow me to believe on my own.
Yeah.
Don't put me in some house in Borodale,
on your
Brook,
own sound.
And then say, if you don't know this person, leave. You can't drink our alcohol. Alcohol is for everyone.
We have learnt, like in Zimbabwe, it's actually a weird thing. We've been used to having one of everything.
Yeah,
so there's
true.
Like one political party. There's one opposition party. There's one like superstar, Oliver Mtukudzi.
Exactly.
There's one, like, you know, roller meal. There's one. It's the one same everywhere. Mm. One Mazoe. Like, you can't have anything else.
You know what I mean?
What are you talking about? Never.
Never.
It was snobbish. rubbish about it, even in South Africa. We're like, Oros is not Mazoe. No,
but Oros is not Mazoe for real, though.
But you know what I'm saying.
Even the South Africa Mazoe, this is diaspora Mazoe.
Yes, it looks like the diabetes one. No, for real.
We're very good at classifying and putting people into boxes.
And that's the only thing that we want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, coffee.
Yeah, the coffee's here. Yeah. I'll take water. Today's a Thursday. There's alcohol later.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So we're
there's a secret that I was told, but I think maybe I should not tell you by the wife.
Oh, really?
Because I was asking her, is he going to make it?
Right.
So, but even before we get into is he going to make it, this is going to be a long podcast.
Right.
I think I got more in touch with less your comedy and more your cooking skills at one point in time.
Right.
Because no news feeds on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, things just pop up.
Man's
things just
eat.
Pop up, and I'm like, this brother can cook. So how did that go about? How did that go about, Carl? Did it start off as started off as a chef?
No.
How did this go? Give us the history.
Okay, so what you have to understand is that my parents were both teachers, but my dad was a stand-up comic, and he did this for free for friends at weddings and that kind of thing.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And my mom is a home economics lecturer. And she obviously her passion was cooking and, and sewing and that kind of thing. I in the middle of it am a graphic designer, but I stole I stole my parents' skills because they weren't making money from them. I really actually wanted to make money from this stuff, and so that's how I got into it. The cooking started off as a blog, but comedy was supposed to be the vehicle to bring out the fact that
everything.
I'm kind of an all rounder. There's a lot of stuff that I do. I go through seasons. So when comedy season is down, I'm doing my cooking blogs. I'm doing my teaching. I'm doing my writing.
Exactly.
And then I do comedy, you know, later part in the year. But comedy is what opens the doors for me. So, you know, I started off just cooking.
So it built the brand. Yeah. So, okay, now we know there's a car. What else does he do?
Exactly. So one of the cool things is that because I'm a graphic designer, very heavy on the branding. So I can get my name out, especially from a cooking perspective. And I also don't believe in waiting until a publisher comes on board. So I just put the
exactly,
stuff online.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe in the 0 to 100. So, like, I start out now in my kitchen. One day I'm going to have a set. One day I'm
exactly.
going to be, you know, like a big celebrity chef. I don't know.
And graphic design, I mean, yeah, because we were actually talking to a very big model in from Zimbabwe. Her name is Kim Jade Robinson. Amazing. Very, very beautiful. And we were talking about branding. And as Zimbabweans, branding is something that we need to take a bit more seriously.
Sure.
First and foremost, branding our own country.
Oh, yeah,
you know
absolutely.
I mean? It's just the country's brand itself has been a bit messed up, is extremely messed up.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you brand yourself as an individual, I've been, you know, seeing all the posts that Nelsie's been putting out. And Facebook is lit right now. It's everything Carl.
It's crazy. I've never seen anything like this happen before. You have to remember that we've spent the last couple of months thinking no one cares.
Yeah,
about
true.
What we're doing.
No, you see what happens, Carl.
Yeah.
Zimbabweans.
Yeah.
I will not show you that I like. I will not show you that I like.
Yeah.
So, for example, even our numbers on Cliff Central, until we find out how many downloads, we're like, oh, snap.
Is that what's going on?
People are actually downloading. But on Twitter, Facebook, I won't like this one. Let me just...
But then when you bump into people on the streets, it's now a different thing altogether. There's this huge other audience that are not directly listening to this stuff, but we like to talk about it. Like we like to say, oh, the Warriors were playing in the Mighty Warriors were playing in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Not all of us watch the matches, but we all have an opinion about
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
That's it's a crazy phenomenon.
I can't say it's a terrible habit. I guess it's maybe not even a Zimbabwean thing. I think it's a general thing that people do but it's so difficult as a person who puts out a project or a product. I like to think of him as that. When you put out a project and you hope that people are seeing it, the only time, like you said, the only time we actually get to see that people have seen what we're doing is when we meet people in the streets, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
huh?
Yeah, because I've had situations where I remember something so random as I flooded our apartment the first time we moved in, and I was calling my mom because there was so much water. I just didn't know. So Carl was in Malawi at a gig. So I was freaking out. I mean, it's a weird thing, really. It's a bit of a pansy. And I'm calling, I'm calling Carl and I'm texting him and I'm on Facebook. I was like, guys, I'm looking at the mop, the bucket, the water, you know. So then Carl comes back and I'd done this whole 10 days till Carl comes home and the things I'm going to do while he's away, you know, listen to Justin Bieber, you know, things that I'm not allowed when he's around and stuff. But then it's weird that you then meet with people, the most random people. And when I say random, I'm talking about people who, you know, like you'll meet an ambassador type thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll say, hey, Carl, you know, did you guys manage to kind of mop up that water? And I'm like, you know, I probably got like one like on it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a dog.
Oh, dog. Yeah, I've been seeing the dogs. Yeah, I've been seeing the dogs. Yeah.
Shefi is.
Do you know why?
Shefi only has 250 likes on her page. And she thinks she's a celebrity already. Right?
She turns her nose up at us.
She's sleeping around with other Kadoma girls, with mongrels and whatever. And, you know, you try to tell her about the dangers of teenage pregnancy, and she doesn't want to listen. We've told her contraception, everything. She just
doesn't work.
As a child, she's like, she hasn't even started going to nursery school. She doesn't even know how to play fetch. And now, well, now we're grandparents.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And now everyone knows who our grandkids are, which is weird. Now we're getting
puppies all over social media right now.
Everybody wants the puppies. Like, do you know what? That's such a rude thing. Like, how can you say to a person, I want your grandkids for myself? Like, what kind of person comes up to a person and says, congratulations, I want your grandkids?
You know, Madindi, no, seriously. So this is a standing argument we have here, and maybe, you know, people could help us out here. So before we even had puppies, and we knew we wanted to have an extra dog because we wanted, you know, a companion for Shefi, whatever.
Yeah.
So he sat me down and he said to me, you know what, if we have puppies, you're only allowed to keep one. Not two, not three, not four, one. So I was given this entire lecture.
Why are we dwelling on the past?
Un momento, por favor. So I just need my time because I need this recorded for future. You know, we need proof. So he tells me.
This is forever. Don't worry. It's on Clip Central.
I'm telling you. He tells me, you know what? You cannot keep the puppies. And I was lectured. And, you know,
how many puppies did Shefi have?
Five. And guess who wants to keep all five puppies? He's all up and naming them. He wants to name them up after his comedy friends.
Yeah, no,
Basket
one,
Mouth,
Basket
Grief,
Mouth. One is called Mbokolo.
Mbokolo, Salvador, Deep Fried Man, Goliath.
Did I mention Griff?
Deep Fried Men.
Yeah,
yes.
Deep Fried Men. They call me, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and they're girls.
They're girls.
So
wow. There's a problem calling a dog Basket Mouth. I mean, listen.
I can't. Basket. No, it doesn't
work. I hope the original Basket Mouth can hear this.
No, he knows. Like,
he knows
had
that
this
the
whole
dogs,
discussion.
Yeah, we said, you know, Basket Mouth. Like, because I want them to be their godparents. You know,
oh,
like,
my
you know
Lord.
That kind of thing. To advise them,
oh,
you know, as they're growing up.
You know, it's very necessary.
Guys, if it's difficult for a Zimbabwean to grow up, it's difficult for a Zimbabwean dog. You guys don't understand the parallels. Do you know what I'm saying? Because
I live in a nut house. I live in a nut.
You're slowly adapting now. See, I can tell.
There's no adaption. I'm telling you. I'm living
out. The dynamic is working out. You people, audience, I wish you could see them. Listeners, oh, sorry, they're not an audience. It's the cameras, guys. It's the cameras. I got cameras around me now.
Seeing all of us come out. Yes, viewers out there. As you can see, we're just demonstrating. Let's demonstrate.
How was Kenya? And you guys, you know what? Money is not very well right now. It was the end of the month and you're in Kenya. And then you're talking about Chef blah, blah. I'm like, eish. I'm about to unfollow this one called Nelson. This, hey.
Oh, the food pizzas. I'm making sure people die of FOMO.
How was Kenya though?
Kenya showed me the power of Robert Mugabe. People don't understand the power or the presence of Robert Mugabe. I mean, I was on stage, I'm doing my thing, and I know the Kenyans love the Robert Mugabe jokes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm about to let rip on my biggest Robert Mugabe set ever. Mics go out. Boom.
Yo.
For five minutes, they started singing
to cheer me up. I was just standing on the stage, and I waited. And then when the sound came back up, all I could say is, "Let us all close our eyes for the presence of Mugabe is strong."
Kenya was fantastic. Kenya was brilliant. Yeah, Kenya was brilliant.
And but the Kenyans are big on social media.
They're very big on social media. My Twitter with Kenyans. Yeah, I've seen it.
I didn't know.
But you, I guess, you know, Carl always told me about it. And I kind of, you know, you're like, oh, no, I think we're, you know, kind of internet savvy. You know, you like to think of yourself.
Yeah.
But it's everywhere. I remember when the guys did Carl with the other comedians and Churchill and Daliso, they did an interview, their first interview. You know, like, I'm thinking, you know, interviews with press is like Zimbabwe. You know, you have
press conference.
Yeah, press conference and you know, people writing the papers.
Yes, exactly.
No, but they're huge on bloggers. Bloggers are huge. I mean, they're strong. They're actually powerful.
And I'm always trying to tell the bloggers in Zim, like we've got a group of bloggers. We call it bloggers, B-L-O-G-G-R-Z, which is Great Zimbabwe Bloggers. So trying to get young bloggers to understand that their blogs matter. Because people just think, it's just a habit. You know,
you're bored. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but Kenya showed us it's
Kenya,
powerful.
It's proper business. It's
powerful,
not
because I remember when I was in Kenya, back 2014, 2014.
Right.
Every restaurant I went to, order a glass of water.
Yeah, get Wi-Fi.
You get your Wi-Fi.
Thank
you. Know
you.
What I mean? Kenya's actually where it's ahead of South Africa, Zim. Most of us,
I agree,
in terms of access to
media
the internet.
And yeah, but they just
And then they're terrible at it. Because they've got this show on MTV that had Lupita. What was this show called? I forgot.
It was
terrible.
Oh, really?
It was awful.
How can you go wrong? You had Lupita.
It was awful. It was Lupita, and she was supposed to be some girl in college trying to survive.
She was 12 years old.
She married someone. No.
Did you see that whipping
my brother,
she got? She must have been.
That whipping did not do nothing.
She went to space and Star Wars. Exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But yeah, it was. It's
and
terrible.
Then she comes back.
I forgot what it's called.
I'm going to look for that.
It's one of the jokes that I mentioned about Kenya, because like in the hotels, like the service, like it would take ages. There's one hotel, I won't say all hotels. There's one hotel that was in, the service was so bad, right? I remember the one guy just funnily said to me, I said, yeah, but you guys, you're so good, like in the Olympics, you're always winning like long distance, whatever. And he's like, no, my brother, those are our sprinters.
Oh, wow.
No, but Kenya's good. I was saying that Kenya is almost like, I felt really like in Zim, except that they are able to talk about their president. But I feel like
they don't talk about their president.
Their president is actually cool. I really like.
No, he is. Even you'll find him through the comedians.
No, but you know what? There's actually a correlation between comedians who can make fun of their president and the number of flights leaving their country every day. There's a direct correlation. So like from us being in Zimbabwe, if I say something wrong about Robert Mugabe, the only flight leaving South Africa is going direct to Zimbabwe. It's once a week. And I'm in trouble. If I screw up right now, like
you can't leave.
It's like what were you saying?
I'm here for my.
What were you saying?
You did.
The series is called Sugar. With an S H U G A, very typical Kenyan.
S H U
G A.
Hey. Mara.
Sugar.
Hey.
Sugar.
Why can't we just have it as S-U-G-A-R?
I don't know.
It's the same thing, right?
This one was different.
One with like some social conscious message or
it was about it was about the whole blesser thing.
All right.
But back then, remember, they were sugar daddies.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's where they got.
So we were bringing back the sugar daddy.
It was one of
bring
those
back the sugar
type.
Yes, but it was terrible.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh Jesus!
Do you know what? I'm actually gonna look for it because I don't. I didn't really.
But there were chicks in there, like.
Baby, when were you watching Sugar?
No, I just like. Watching Kenyans. I'm just kidding.
So, Carl, how did this come up? Who dared you? Who said, how did you even conceive the
Guinness Book thing?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? For a stand up comedian to get better, you need stage time. And in order to get stage time, you can't just randomly go on a stage and perform.
Mm.
Guinness Book of Records gave me the opportunity to think, okay, I can be on a stage 35 different times and work my material because I've got like a huge tour happening in Asia, like in November, December. So we're doing 30 days of the Far East. So we start out Dubai, we end up in Myanmar, Singapore, Thailand.
When is this after the
World Records?
Wow.
So we've got a run in Joburg, run in Cape Town, and we've got a run in all of these different countries in the Far East. And so, but I had applied for this Guinness Book of Records thing ages ago, like about six months prior.
To actually telling people about it? Prior to now?
Yeah, prior to when we started planning, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, so I applied on their website, not expecting that they would reply, you know, because I send out press releases to different people to talk about our comedy. Very few people.
Same thing with Cliff Central. When we applied, we didn't expect anyone to respond.
Did you say yes?
35 minutes later.
Yeah.
They're like, why don't you come in tomorrow?
Wow.
We sat in the office. We're with Rena. And then next thing, Gareth walks in there. I think we like it. When can you guys start? Boom, bam.
Wow.
Things work when you're outside of Zimbabwe.
No, but you know what?
Yeah.
It's also that aspect where the worst thing you can do in someone when you ask something is they can say no.
Yeah.
But exactly. The problem is we don't want to ask.
We don't want to ask.
Yeah, yeah. It's so, the asking
so
that's
Nelson has
yeah.
taught me that a lot because Zoe's afraid to start something. And like now, I just go out with the intention to fail. Because, like, what's the worst that could happen? You could succeed, right?
Exactly.
And so, at least if that's my biggest fear, is that, you know, like, this...
What else? Yeah. Record,
I keep warning people, what if this works out? Guys, you're like, I'm sitting there with a potential sponsor. I'm like, okay, guys, you don't want a sponsor?
Fine.
What if this works
what
out?
What if this works out?
Yeah, what if this works out? Do you want another Trevor Noah situation?
Exactly,
happen?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
The form is going to be real.
So, you know, like, so I just applied. I applied, and just the same way that Nelsie wrote to Asia Comedy Club, they wrote back. And
oh, wow.
The same way we just wrote to Guinness, they gave us a reference number and said, cool, we like your dates, just
go for it.
Go for it. This is how you submit the data.
Is there anyone else who's who's trying for the same record at this point in time?
It's a 10 year old record. It's a 10 year old record. Well, almost 10 years. Nobody has attempted it because it's a
stupid.
It's a stupid record to try and do. Like it's really. You know, like on average, you have to do about, like the numbers I'm trying to do, you have to do 5 gigs a day. So try to imagine, how are you going to do 5 gigs? So the normal psyche of a comic is that you're going to have to find 35 comedy clubs to perform in. Mm-hmm. Whereas my psyche is that I have no comedy clubs in Zimbabwe. So I have to create different spaces. So what we did is...
Wait, so you can't actually do this in Zim?
We're actually doing it in Zim. We just started Cape Town,
venues have to be places that have done comedy before.
Before, okay.
So you have to look at the fact that we actually had to do this tour before we did it.
Wow.
To make the venues qualify.
Exactly, to qualify for comedy.
So I've already done this.
Wow.
So I'm doing this again. I just didn't do it in 7 days, but I literally were opening up new comedy spaces.
Yeah. We're going. Stuff, yeah.
So what we're doing is that we've encouraged restaurants that do breakfast. So your ticket for breakfast gets you a comedian.
Awesome.
For example, movie night. Mm-hmm. A comic can open for a movie.
That's a deal. That sounds like a deal to me.
You pay for a movie ticket. And
they should also give you the one for Ingenuity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Guinness Book.
We're hoping that's the one.
You've also got the 2-drink minimum that's imposed in most New York comedy clubs, for example. So that we're introducing that in Zimbabwe. There's other spaces like your cruises, your trains. Mm-hmm. These are venues that could do with stand-up comedy.
As long as they've had a comic there before.
So we traveled around the country actually performing in all those places so that they could. But the lucky thing about it, because in my career I had to open up a lot of spaces, there's a whole trail of these places we'd already done comedy before. So it was actually easier to do this record in Zimbabwe than it was in South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah, because in South Africa you wouldn't be able to get
logistically distance,
yeah. There's a lot of flying, there's a lot of up and down, you know,
and you can't, you
time
can't,
and you're time specific.
Yeah.
This record is time specific.
Yeah.
So
yesterday we had to go between Long Street and VA Waterfront. Now it's simple.
It's a short distance.
It's a simple,
that's Greenpoint and Long Street. Yeah.
But it's a short distance.
Yeah.
But it just felt like it was a difficult thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like in Zim, traffic
5 minutes
from that.
Yeah.
For us is like,
10 minutes.
And you can call the venue
traffic
and say, now. Now means anytime from now. So anytime from.
But what does that say about the comedy culture in Zimbabwe? Do we have a culture?
It's growing.
We're creating it. That's the beauty about it. There is a huge need. Look at the stress levels that Zimbabweans have. Like waking up in the morning and finding out that, okay, your money might not be your money. It might be another type of money. And now you have to think about how that money is going to work.
And you can't get it either way.
Yeah, like you say something online and then you're a cyber terrorist. And so you have to understand the psyche of the Zimbabwean is that you need a release, and comedy is probably one of the best places. Mm-hmm. We can't listen to Neria anymore. Neria is a drug. We're now resistant to Neria.
Then there was that other one, Torikwira.
Exactly. So people are like,
so we're done.
Yeah, the audience are like, dude, we're not going to dance. We want to sit. You talk.
Make me happy.
Yeah, make me happy now. You know, so.
But you know, because we've had Mkadota, the Gringos, the Timina Bonzo, and it was actually very big on TV at that point in time.
Yes, absolutely.
Where did that fail to link with your kind of comedy now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now that I think of it, Zimbabwe has actually been very big on comedy. Yeah. But a different type of comedy. That was more TV.
Exactly.
Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Where did that fail to then progress from there into Carl Joshua Ngube and these other guys who were there?
Yeah, so the challenge that we have with Zimbabweans is that mentality of thinking comedy is the one thing. But comedy is many different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a struggle we always get. Like, we see the talk online where people are like, you know, and I call you guys, you should be recording skits. I'm like, no, I'm not a skit. I'm not a comedian who does skits. Mm-hmm. I'm a stand-up comedian. It's a specific subgenre of comedy as an art form.
Okay.
So telling stories around a fire is comedy. You and your friends at a bar is comedy. Mm-hmm. People are always laughing at bars. Zimbabweans, in fact, laugh the loudest.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you have the Mkadota, which is like the drama series. So these are actors who had writers writing for them. Then you've got your guys like your Baba Tencent, for example, P.O. Box, Bus Stop. These guys, again, are doing skits and videos. So it's not that Zimbabweans want, they want you to be everything.
One thing or the
you
other.
You want to be the one thing.
Yeah,
but what they have to understand is, enjoy the online videos that you're watching. When you want to watch stand-up comedy, you can go and watch a Carl Joshua Ngube at night in a venue. And you're not going to see a recording until maybe 10 years down the line when he's big enough, then he does a recording, and then it's available on DVD. Mm-hmm. So people just have to, we have to constantly be reinforcing to Zimbabweans that you've always had this. Yeah. You don't even your politicians, like, you see how much Mugabe has been roasting Tony Blair, Bush, and
exactly,
whatever.
Yeah, the only Blair that I know is the
toilet. He's the Roastmaster General. do you know what I'm saying? So comedy exists in so many different spaces. We just don't know what it is. So my
Zimbabweans,
job is
we like to dictate
people. Yeah.
That's
territory my dictator. We've got dictator in all of us. Yeah.
And exactly. It doesn't work because, you know what? Baba Tencent, we're actually talking about on our other show.
Right.
We've just broken into TV.
Right.
I cannot say much about it.
But excellent.
Yes. But,
I can't say much about it. No, just signing that million dollar contract.
We'll be listening to this. We'll be listening to this 3 years from now.
I can't say much about it.
But we heard all about it.
Yes.
About 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But Baba Tencent, we were talking about how he went to... he opened up for Anne.
Yeah.
This time around.
Recently. Yeah. When we were in Kenya. Yeah.
Crickets.
Right.
And the Zimbabweans got quiet, bro. And you know Zimbos, when they want to be stubborn, they'll be stubborn. And Zango got to see. Because he came from talking about eating chicken in a combi.
Mm.
To wanting to be on stage with Nkansime Mfoit. I think take your time.
No, but
chill.
No, no,
wait,
no.
Wait, but you have to understand, even as a stand-up comedian, you will have moments like that. So they say you can't kill unless you've died. And even some of the biggest names have died in that manner.
Tell us about some of yours.
Yeah, like
I like these moments.
Okay, no. So in Nigeria, so I get booked for a night of 1,000 laughs, right?
You did a three-country tour.
So we start in Lagos, for example, to do a teaser show. So they've asked us to do 5 minutes performance. Now, what people don't understand is that for a comic to get up to speed in 5 minutes is a difficult thing, especially like in West Africa, mm-hmm. East Africa type thing. So I get on stage, and because, you know, like, you perform at, you know, Parker's and your Goliath's Comedy Club, 5 minutes to me, you can bang on 5 minutes.
Exactly,
proper.
So leave
here 5 minutes and
stitches.
I killed. And the other comics, they did okay, but the promoter says, yeah, this is the next big star.
To who now? To you.
To him.
He says, at the next show, the big show, he's closing. Carl is gonna close. He's the big guy.
It's a seven hour show.
So they've put lots of people. And this is what promoters don't understand.
7 hours and Rangogara.
So what promoters don't understand, and I struggle with this in Zimbabwe. When they're doing your shows, right? People think they can laugh for 7 hours, but they can't. There's only so much laughter available per night. Right? So now when you load up a show, and I don't like performing in shows where there's going to be musical acts and whatever. People have come for comedy, they didn't come to dance. So promoters don't know how to respect that. They always think the show needs something. It needs a
beginning.
Stand-up comedy is not enough.
So that kills the comedians. And so promoters literally kill the comedian's performance because they put it in the wrong context. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Baba Tencent could have had he could have great nights as a comic, and he shouldn't even quit. He should keep going at it. Mm-hmm. This is why, like, you probably have not seen me even comment on it. I've seen the video. I think when you could see the excitement that people had.
Yeah.
But I understand because he's making the transition into stand-up comedy. He's going to get better. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me in Lagos, I want you to imagine the Lois Ogolas were on the lineup before me. Huh? There were the big comics were put before me. They had music in between.
Yo.
And then the MC comes out and says, ladies and gentlemen, huh? Now the guy you've all been waiting for. Imagine in Abu, all the way from Zimbabwe. This guy killed it in Lagos. This guy is just trailblazing. He's the biggest thing from Zimbabwe. Real. Ladies and gentlemen, yo. Carl Joshua Ngube. Now, Nigerian comics come out, they perform, they dance for about 3 minutes before they even start performing. I walk out, go to the mic. Hey, what's up, Abuja? How are you guys doing? You know the thing I hate about Nigerians? Oh, man. Silence. You know, like silence for 15 minutes. 15 minutes. The guys on the side of the stage are trying to pull me off. I'm like, guys, wait. I've still got one more good joke. I'm looking back. I'm like, I still got one good joke.
Good.
And I just kept going. And kept going. It was just silent. There may be one or two people. Nelsie was sending messages to someone who was in the audience. How is it going? The guy just took a picture and sent it to Nelsie. I just said, yeah, he's on stage. I didn't say what's going on. And I died so, so bad. But this is the beauty about comedy. It humbles you. It makes you so humble. There's no time that you go on stage thinking, yeah, I am the, you know. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of young cats and they're like, you know, Carl, I want to be on the poster. I'm like, dude. You want to be on a poster? Do you know? That's the worst possible thing. You want to be on a show where Carl is on the poster and you kill it and Carl can't come back from that. Now that, everybody's going to remember
exactly,
that.
Yeah.
But the day they put you on the poster, the day they make a fuss about you,
it's
the expectation is going to be so much higher. So you'll find, for example, when people are making such a big hype about someone maybe who hadn't done stand-up comedy before and now they put you on the stage mm-hmm. and everyone
the expectation
expecting.
Is huge.
Do you know what I mean? And it's crazy. Even people like Ann Kansime, people want to misunderstand where she's come from. I mean, Ann Kansime is a great friend of she's a great friend of mine. She did 1,000 videos before.
Yeah, she was pushing herself. Yeah.
Yeah. So people in Zimbabwe think you're going to be successful overnight because you got 30,000 views on Facebook.
You have to do your 10,000.
You have to do your time. You just have to do your time. And I encourage anybody, you die on stage, just keep going at it because you will get better.
And I think it's just that, you know, that level of confidence and perseverance, not just confidence, to say, you know what, Ish, didn't do it today. I'll wake up tomorrow. Let me try again.
Yes, he almost quit when he did. You know? And it was,
I almost quit,
international. He almost quit.
If Bovi hadn't, Bovi's a huge Nigerian comic. I'll be performing with him in Uganda just after this world record thing.
Okay.
And Bovi just came backstage and was like, my brother, you know what? We need you to be in a bar right now. We're going to go drink. This happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, it was one of those things where
like
there were lots of like hot chicks backstage, right? There were lots of hot chicks backstage, like all up in the faces of all the comedians.
And you're getting on, you're like, you know what, when I come out.
But after my set, nobody wanted to talk to me.
No, see?
No one wanted to talk to me at that point. Like they were all like shying away from. Bovi just comes to me and says, dude, it happens. And I've seen big names. I'm not even going to mention them, but I've seen big names mm-hmm. just on a comedy just have a bad day. And it doesn't mean the material isn't good. It was just not the right fit, the right climate, the right, you know.
I think it's you know, and it's even, I don't want to call it easier with comedy, but I mean, that was one show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Then there are people, I mean, just in general, to learn a lesson from Carl's experiences, to say in life, you know, things will pull you back.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's
and
how you get up.
It's how you get up. And I mean, I've been trying, personally, I've been trying to be in entertainment or media since.
Forever,
you know?
Right.
But then I took the typical route. You know, the parents of the ones who suffered in the war.
Right.
The ones who
said, yes.
You
yes.
go to school.
Oh, that.
After you go to school, maybe you go to school some more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you get a job. Yeah. You wake up in the morning, you leave the house at 7:30, you go to work, you come back and your tie is slightly pulled down.
Mm. Yes.
And then, you know, then one day you marry.
Right.
After you marry, small apartment, a bit of extra money, maybe kabucha.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that was the way I was brought up.
It was, yeah. We were all brought up that way, yeah.
And then you try, you know, you meet some of your dudes, you know, you meet some of these guys and they're like, can I be the MC at this? No. Maybe. Yes. You don't get paid. This, this and that. And we do it for the love of it. But I mean, that perseverance, and then next thing, you're breaking records. I mean, yeah. No, Guinness Book of World Records. That's a big deal.
Malindi, I always try and explain. It's weird that at the time when it was all happening, no one really. It's when I say it, and when I tell people the story of how we started in comedy, no one really. They look at us now and they think, you guys are lying. You know, they see the food pictures from Kenya.
Yes.
But how it actually started, I mean, apart from Carl coming to me and said, "Hey, babe, you know, I think I want to be a comedian," and I was like, "You know what? You're funny." I didn't even know what comedy was. Then my first video DVD I'd ever watched was Barry Hilton, and you know, that's what I knew, but I didn't know it was like a profession where people get paid. I just thought, "Oh, shucks, he's really funny. I've always known him to be funny. We always laugh." So I was like, "You know what? Okay, cool. I think this sounds like something fun." Mm-hmm. When I was young and very risky, that's when I married him as well. So he always says I married him for his potential. So when we started, I remember we went Zim. And he did the big announcement. And you always think, this is it. This is the one thing that's going to make. We had people come and that sort of thing. And I was working out of the country. And then Carl says, you know, and we discussed it. And he said, you know what? The biggest industry we know where there's a setup of comedy is South Africa. So we have to move to South Africa. And again, that whole thing of just emailing somebody.
Exactly.
He emailed Joe Parker. He's a new comic. The only thing we had was that big announcement clip, yeah? It was very Zimbabwean and very nostalgic. And Joe Parker was like, yeah, dope. And then I remember it was our first ever paying gig. And he paid us, eh? It was like 400 rand. We were like, yo! You know what I mean? And he had given us, what, it was like 3 or 4 gigs. And he says, Carl, no, come on. I'll give you some spots. And I remember we were like, I was like, what? You know,
so is this really happening?
On 3 gigs of like 4, we're like, we're moving to South Africa. And literally, I remember we had like $150 in our pocket. I swear, I shit you not.
$50 came from Zimbo Jam.
$50 from guy from Zimbo Jam said, hey guys, towards the upkeep, you know. And it was myself, Carl, and a friend of ours, a very good friend of ours called Rufaro, who's like Carl's, he's worked with Carl, and they kind of, they've talked about comedy for a long time, way before me type thing. And so we moved to South Africa with $150, a prayer, and the fact that we knew for Carl to grow in comedy, we needed him. We needed to move to South Africa.
So
I swear.
It's benchmarking.
We slept.
If you don't benchmark, then you don't know where to
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
So we, you know, things. I mean, it's too long a story, but you know, God was just there because we managed to find an apartment. You know. With our current, you know, those 3 month visa thingies, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were legal, guys. We're legal, you know.
Don't worry on the immigrants.
Touch water, you know, but
we were
legal.
They don't usually come to us.
You know,
you're safe.
The
you're safe with us.
We found an apartment in where were we staying, Baba? In North Riding.
North Riding.
Okay.
And we didn't have money for furniture. Of course, we had no credit line, nothing. Yeah. I swear, and we chose the apartment based on the fact that the 2 bedrooms that were there had a carpet.
Because
we didn't have a bed. So we slept on the floor. Carl had this G-tub. Before G-tub separated from whatever, they used to have this touch me, touch the world sort of entrance. So that was where we used to watch TV. On a little phone.
The 3 of us sitting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Watching
on the floor, just
when
watching,
we got a bit of money,
TV,
when we got a bit of money, we bought those inflatable beds, and they used to
they'd blow up,
blow up at night,
and then you wake up.
No, we'd use my nail, polish like
to cover it
at night, and you know, I remember there were days when it was coffee, we were staying in this really expensive apartment, but it was because we had never lived in South Africa, so safety, of course, for us was really huge.
Of course,
so that's
why
we're staying in this bougie area, but we're staying in this bougie area with no furniture, nothing. We had an aunt who happened to have like old TV, you know, those really box ones?
Yeah.
And she gave us one, so it was sitting on the kitchen counter, and luckily, apartments in South Africa, we didn't know, came with stoves. You know? And we bought a cooler box. And that's where
that
we put our meat and
so
no refrigerator.
Our meat
ice.
For 3 days. Every
guys,
day we'd go on an ice run.
Guys, the shit
so
was
go
real.
Buy ice, put it in the cooler box. The one time I remembered buying so much meat, right, to cover us for the weeks ahead. Then a brother of mine came to pick us up and he's like, Carl, let's go for a braai. We went to his house.
He never
we came
back.
5 days later.
What about Konya in the house? But you know what I mean? It was mad. But I remember, and then we'd go for the gigs now. So the gigs were important. I remember the first time. So we had just arrived and Joe says, okay, come. So the gig starts at 8. Now, because we were like, hey, you know, used to Zimbabwe, you just have to be there on time. Mm-hmm. So we got to the gig at 6. And Joe was like, what are you guys doing? I was like, no, we've come to check the microphone, the sound. Yeah, because, no, because like, Zimbabwe, you have to check setup.
Okay, so you do a gig. You don't get booked for a gig. You go to the venue. Hi, my name is Carl. I'm a comedian. I want to
do a gig.
And then he says, write me a proposal. Then we write a proposal.
We love proposals, Zimbabwe. They write about everything.
Then they say to us, okay, I have to bring in my business partners. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, can you come and do a demo of what you are talking about? Mm. So I have to go there and perform. I'll perform there. It's a free gig. Mm-hmm. And then I go back. Then they say, okay, cool. Let's do the gig. Okay, where are you getting your PA system? So now I have to sort out the PA system. How are you advertising
where
yourself?
Where are you getting
so
the chairs?
I have to do the posters. Okay, chairs. So chairs. How are you selling the tickets? Have you designed
I'm telling you.
Have you printed the tickets? How are people going to buy advanced tickets? So, for example, now I have to set up, and I've had to do this often. Like, I remember the one gig, we set up this thing called Beeper. So Beeper is like a missed call service that we created. So we jimmied a number of different apps together. So people send you a missed call, and then they get a message back to say, congratulations, you just won a ticket to watch Carl Joshua Ncube. But the message is brought to you by X-Sponsor.
XYZ, yeah.
So the sponsor then pays for all the tickets.
Oh, okay.
Because they're getting the mileage.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
People get into the show
that's
for free.
Awesome, yeah.
Only because people wouldn't come to that venue for free. So I realized my fan base had people that could afford my shows and people who couldn't. So people who couldn't were always looking for an opportunity, because that's why on Facebook they're like, we're coming, but you don't see them on the day. Because,
exactly, yeah.
Because
yeah.
They can't afford
that's why
it.
You've got 4,500 followers. I see a lot of artists and people in, you know.
But you want
so
bumps on
4,500 people on Facebook.
But you want
Facebook.
Them on the yeah. seats.
So
and one-tenth, you know, 450. Give me 450 people out of 4,500.
Thank you. Yeah.
And it's such a huge contrast between doing the gigs in Zim and doing them in South Africa. Because in South Africa, I get booked. They do my hotel. They do media.
Exactly.
They do. I don't even design a single poster. I show up literally 10 minutes before I'm supposed to go on stage.
And then
perform my 30 minutes. And then I'm off. If I perform an hour in Zimbabwe, people are going to be pissed off.
Like, ah, Maria do.
So it always has to be, I can't sit here for an hour. So now I have to think about other acts. We have to be paid. If those guys come on board for, I don't like having artists come onto my gigs performing mm-hmm. for free. It's only if they've pushed and they say, Carl would really like to come through. But I just hate it. But the contrast is startling. It's like it's night and day. But we're trying to get Zimbabwe to be at that level, mm-hmm. which is why we're so excited. We've had the biggest growth of new comics come up.
Yeah.
You know, like
I just don't understand why it takes so much to grow these things in Zimbabwe, considering our apparent literacy rates and how smart we call each other and how tech savvy we are. Not tech savvy per se, but I mean, guys, we watch a lot of TV.
No, but
we've got a couple of big problems. First problem, the government won't let you talk about certain things. So people are already afraid about comedy. They're already afraid that someone's going to say something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the government, religious leaders, celebrities. Mm. We get threatened by everybody. So everybody doesn't like
this. No, we talked about them all on our new TV show. I'm sorry, we talked about you
guys.
All of them.
No.
Yeah. Especially Fungisa Izwapan. I hope you're talking about it.
Exactly. So,
he did.
So for example, she says, oh no, there's cyber bullies who are out there. And I'm like, Fungisa, this is Carl Joshua Ncube talking about you, right?
You're getting mileage, first of all.
So, as a stand-up comedian, we don't make fun of people who are not popular. If I made fun of someone who was unknown, how would that help anything?
Exactly.
Okay, would you prefer me to talk about Beyonce? Because how is that helping? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. How
it's
do I relate?
It's about making artists topical. And I think people they don't know how to harness.
We don't
know how to
ourselves.
Harness laughing at
exactly,
ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I say that makes you a stronger person if you're able to laugh at yourself, because people always forget this. And I always say, you know, you're being hypocrites about this, because I make fun of everyone, but I don't know if you notice it, but 30% of my time I'm making fun of my own wife.
Exactly.
So
and yourself.
Why are you offended
when
I'm making fun of some, like I'm exaggerating a
and
situation.
And it's comedy,
that's
you know.
No, but I guess you see. I don't know. There's an expression. If you remember that expression, you always said the thing is, literacy does not
mean intelligence.
Mean intelligence.
Thank you very much.
And I'm not saying people are not intelligent. It's not that, but it's just that we are. Our literacy rate is high, but in terms of how we understand things and how we comprehend things and how we compute things, because I find that my mind is open a lot more. That even right now in my own current state, that I find I always sort of go back into that Zimbabwean thinking mode. Mm-hmm. Of, no, why should they be? Why should they be? Of that they should be the one, but you find only when we travel out and we go to countries like Kenya, or even come to South Africa, that you see things. You know, when they talk about ANC and the way they talk about whatever their parties and stuff.
And they can't see each other.
Yeah, yes. They have that conversation. Again, you know what? People are different. I do believe, you know, we shouldn't be disrespectful and stuff. And I know Carl definitely tries not. He does it. He makes fun of what people
do.
Yeah,
there's a difference between being like AC.
Yeah,
Lumumba, yeah. And saying you're not gonna go.
Yeah.
Then there's being like that. Your hands were ashy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he said what he said, right? Mm-hmm. If we are going to move forward as Zimbabweans,
people should be allowed.
People should be okay
with everything
with a person being that left of center, and we should be okay with someone being that right of center, because we're never gonna. This is why we can't get. We can't agree on things like, because the government has always got it wrong. Let's come up with a national dress. Why should there be one when we've got so many tribes?
Exactly.
Why should we have X number of national, South Africa?
And every national dress is just a picture of him on a shirt, to be really honest.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
For real, though.
But and yet, what really annoys me, I was born on Africa Day, 25 May.
Oh, wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what really annoys me, we do nothing African on Africa Day. Nothing. Absolutely nothing African. Yeah. In fact, all of our holidays in Zimbabwe have nothing to do with our way of life.
No.
They are to do...
If on
Heroes Day, the president took the opportunity to say, and in my closing remarks, "Ande tuno jgamazondo," do you know what that would do for the pig industry in Zimbabwe? If the president enforced in schools, not that we do a national pledge, how about enforcing that they dress up traditional garb as opposed to Civis Day. Mm-hmm. Why should we be Eurocentric about how we celebrate?
No, we're very Eurocentric. We're very Western as Zimbabweans. I mean, the way we speak, at least we can switch up our accents. I know people who can't even switch up their accents.
And this is the thing. This is actually the funny thing. So you look at Nigerians when they're in the UK. They sound very, very British.
Yeah.
But do Nigerians say they're less Nigerian? No. But Zimbabweans have a thing. It's like, you're in the diaspora. You can't tell me because you guys ran away and you abandoned us. Pastor Evan went into exile. He abandoned us. Guys, the very country was liberated by people who were in exile.
Exactly.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at people and accents and saying, well, you don't speak with a refined accent. Okay, have you listened to the president lately? What part of his accent is Zimbabwe?
Exactly.
So why are you talking down to a person which is to Urim Salad? Then, therefore, by the same token, the president is also the chief, head salad in chief, commander of the defense forces. Do you know what I'm saying?
No,
but we have to stop being... We have to stop
myopic.
Myopic in our thinking.
Things, yeah.
We really have to celebrate diversity. White people, why is it that a white person is only considered Zimbabwean when they have a gold medal around their neck? Is that the only time?
She's going to be on the show sometime.
Yeah. Is that the only time that we've got lots of white people in the country, yet we say white Zimbabweans aren't Zimbabwean?
The fact that we have to call them white Zimbabweans in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny you're saying about that whole thing. It's, the problem is we're trying to, in every aspect, whether it's in our weddings, in our lobola proceedings, in, like you're saying, in how we deal in business, corporate mm-hmm. business, we give this illusion of tine chivano. But the problem is chivano chacho chino buda only when it suits us.
Yes.
I don't know about how other people experience it, but I do know we've experienced it when we try to get married. I know we've experienced it when we've tried
Didn't you guys end up getting married on a beach or something?
Yeah. Because we tried.
Pictures on Facebook. It's not because people are trying to use culture. Trying to use culture to enforce like money issues.
Or things
that It's not something that is advancing our cause. And on top of that, if lobola is a method of getting married, then why do we put such emphasis on the white wedding?
White wedding. And why do we call it?
Yeah.
Why do we call it the white wedding?
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you an example of something, and I want to say that because this very good friend of mine told me. So her daughter, she wanted to take. This is in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. Where Shona and Ndebele, mm-hmm. those are official languages. So her daughter. akakura achitaura Shona, because she's, well, she's four. She's at home, so I don't tell her Shona. So she wanted to take her daughter to prime, whatever, the school. Shy, I don't have kids. The school before the nursery.
Oh, because this, now you've got the
now,
oh,
now got, kids got, go to school early or something. So she takes her daughter to the school, and they tell her, no, your daughter can't be enrolled until she can talk English. Do you know what I mean? So, Chivano, and this is the thing, English. And yet we say, no, it's not Chivano. And I'm not saying English is bad, but you know what? The minute we at least just real and just accept, guys, we
let them go to school to learn English, because and let them learn their culture at home.
No, but you know what? We speak English.
Yeah.
I used to say that to my mom. I said, even when we're trying to get married and I was trying to negotiate with my family, and he's negotiating with his family because all of a sudden traditions change. I remember saying to my parents, and we said it to his parents as well, but guys, do you know this entire time, Chichikura, not once, we got married late, like in our 30s, not once did our parents ever sit us down and say,
they've never raised us traditionally.
They've never raised us traditionally. So all of a sudden, we're 30. And I was like, do you know what? The only time people run around is if I was pregnant. That's the only time.
Oh, that's an easy passage.
It's an easy passage.
Oh, my God. Just
but when
get
you
pregnant.
Genuinely just want to get married because you just want to get married, all of a sudden,
we
these
treat
things.
It like it's a crime.
It's like a
marriage
crime.
Marriage becomes a crime.
Yeah, I mean, it's become a money making scheme.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't know how to celebrate.
Yeah, we don't know. So if you want to go back home, you want to do like a nice homecoming, they turn it into Kosekuru. I'm like, no, if Sekuru's coming to celebrate, let him come and celebrate.
Exactly.
You know, like, I'm not going to.
And bring something with you.
Thank you very much.
Like a casserole.
Now I have to bring Sekuru from Kumusha.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh,
I think if we just accept that how we're raising our kids is how they're just going to be. Look, I was raised speaking English. In between, there was Shona, but I honestly...
We weren't speaking Shona.
We didn't.
We talk about our Mtupos, for example. If my banking form in Zimbabwe
was written,
said, write your Mtupo, I would use my Mtupo
more
often.
Yeah,
but we don't use it. Mm-hmm. So why should we make it... Why should we suddenly make it a big deal?
I mean, and I think it's also a loss of culture from the parents themselves. Because my father is a very traditional individual. I mean, he was born like way back then.
Mantika.
And up until now, every time I've been a part of the Lobola ceremony, which was actually recent, like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
I was back in Zim. And my dad would be like, he didn't charge. We didn't charge as a family. What we did is we asked him how much he had.
Right.
Then from there, my dad's like, so is that how much you have? And you're good.
And
then fine. Yeah. Then he told my mom, okay, mom, imchichaje, the change is mine. And that was done.
Do you know what?
That was it.
Do you know what Carl once said? Carl said, we're having a Carl says, why do we not have record? Because it's tradition. Let's talk from a traditional point of view, right? So it means your sister will not be the first Malindi to get married. You are not the first Malindi.
Exactly.
Your father has gotten married. It's there's a trail of all these marriages. Mm-hmm. Surely, why is there no record? Record. Patnos, a panic book. You know how you go to America, there's an archive.
Exactly.
Kuti, the Kennedys, they started from here. So, why do we not have an archive or some form of documentation
that says when the Ngubes
get married?
Yeah, but the thing is, they have families write books. Like during the Lobola process, there is books.
But my argument was that
if we have a ministry of culture, what on earth are you doing if you're not recording? You must ask. In my opinion, I think rather than pushing cyber law bills and whatever, there must be a traditional marriage act that allows every family, before you even do Lobola, in your tribe, you must actually go and hand in that book. Because if there's a dispute, I need to have recourse legally.
Yes.
To say, no, this family claims that you have to bring two cows and whatever.
A
then
pajero.
All of a sudden, they put a pajero. Where's the pajero?
So the traditions
have to be put down. Mm-hmm. Because what will happen is that three governments later, we won't know how to get married. Trust me, we won't, because there's no apps. There's nothing on social media. There's virtually no websites. And there's lots of hearsay. So I know right now, having raised five dogs, right?
You're so bad.
I may change and say I want six.
Get away,
I don't know. I have to be groomed and trained.
Okay, wait, hold up. Wifeja, What's the itinerary looking like? Right. You guys have already started. It started on the 17th. It ends on the 23rd.
Yep. So this is so we started yesterday, the 17th. We did Cape Town. So we did two shows in Cape Town, Cape Town Comedy Club and BL's. Oh, gosh, they showed Carl so much love, and that was fantastic. Today, we're in Johannesburg. Yeah, of course, because we're talking to you. You know, it's very live.
It could have been Skype.
Yeah, you know, live in the building. You know what? I'm going to send that post. I'll show proof. So today, we're doing the Goliath Comedy Club. Like Carl explained with the Goliaths and stuff. So he's doing a performance tonight in the evening. And then tomorrow, early in the morning, we fly back to Zimbabwe. We're in Harare. Mm-hmm. So he's got five shows in Harare. These are spread over the movie house, Der Kinnecore, German Society. He's even doing a show at his old school, Prince Edward.
Oh, awesome. Hey.
Do you know what? I'm just saying woo-hoo, but I'm not even... I don't
I'm
get it.
I'm not a fan of Prince Edward. I'm sorry. I don't get Kutama.
It. Oh, you're
into Kutama. I'm one of those. I'm one of those.
No, he's also one of those. I don't get it. You know, I just went to a missionary school, but it's fine. So then he's doing... So he's doing about five shows tomorrow in Harare. But we're doing 2 days in Harare. So the next day again is the 20th, and that's the crazy day because he's got like nine shows
in one day.
So
nine shows in one day.
Yeah, so starting from like our first show is like 9 a.m. and the last show ends at like 10:30. So that's going to be crazy. And then we go on the road en route to Bulawayo. So on the road,
that's also crazy because it starts Harare, Norton.
Yeah, we go to Pakare. We're going to all of Amtukudzi's.
Pakare Pai.
Bulawayo, all in the same day.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and so each stop is a show.
Yeah. Each stop is going to be a show. So we're going to be, in, like you said, we're going to be Norton, Kwana, Oliver Mtukudzi. You know, he's always been, he's actually a huge comedy fan. Hey? He's been really big on comedy. Kadoma, where we're staying, you know, we have to do a show there. Then we do a show in Gweru, giving back to the students at the Midland State University.
Okay.
And then we go to Bulawayo where we have five shows lined up, different places, pubs, hotels, theaters, that sort of thing.
New strip clubs.
Well, it's not a strip club.
Dude, that's what they said it was.
And then we close in Vic Falls.
I might come for the one with the strip club.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, God, you guys are so bad. I'm going to make them charge $50. Not that that's a deterrent. I think that's how much you spend at a strip club. I don't know. So on the 23rd, the last day, we are finishing off in Vic Falls. In Vic Falls, we've got about, I think it's six or seven shows lined up. Everything from doing it on a train to doing in a walkway near Snake Park to... doing in an amphitheater.
And this is all going to be recorded.
Yeah. All of it is being recorded. We have a team that's doing a reality documentary on the whole process. So they've been following us. I just give them boundaries on the bathroom, bruh. So, yeah, you know, I need to keep something
for ourselves.
You're
not on your Kardashian,
Jim. Nelsie made an interesting observation on day one of shooting. So they mic'd us up and everything. So, you know, I was about to go to the toilet. I wasn't really going to think about it. I forgot. But Nelsie went to the toilet first and she's like, oh, by the way, I need to remove my mic. And I hadn't thought about that.
And you're like, oh,
I was
snap.
Thinking I was going to go in that bathroom.
No,
I'd have the like
no,
dodgy
know?
Chicken.
No,
and
no.
That was going to make for some...
No, but it's a lot of gigs. But I think the best place for people to find out is actually on Carl's website. Like you were saying earlier, on, we keep updating everyone because there's so much information. So Carl's website, if I may, www.carljoshuangube.com. His Facebook page, Carl Joshua Ngube. It's so easy, huh? His Twitter handle, Carl Joshua Ngube. You know, I like that. You know, so we're each day we're just plugging, reminding people about the different
shows. And my high five account is Sexy Baby.
With a mustache. So we'll be updating, but I think that's kind of the best place for people to get the information on. But yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy
life. Awesome. How are you feeling, Carl? Like, is the energy there, bruv?
Wow. I mean, you can't tell on my face, but it's, you know, I'm excited on the inside, but exhausted already on the outside. But, you know, I'm really excited. This is just one opportunity for everybody to come on board. I've been so inspired by people's comments online.
People have been showing
because
love,
man. I'm normally on social media, and because I've been so busy, I noticed social media just took care of itself. People have been talking on their own.
Yeah.
People have been sharing as though I sat through a social media workshop.
Yeah.
People are just watching, and then all of a sudden they're like, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. They're sharing stuff, and it's incredible because I was worried because if people don't come to the shows, the conditions are that people have to buy tickets. If they don't buy tickets, the venue gets disqualified.
Okay.
So, you know, trying to appeal to people to understand that, and people are really rallying behind each other, tagging their friends. It's just such an incredible experience. We're excited. We hope the police will allow a safe passage.
No delays on the bird blocks. Yeah,
it would be cool. I would.
And then you've got a branded bus, though, right?
Yes.
It's a little.
It's a bus, Papa. Yeah. We've never had one. So first one.
Like branded bus, with my face on it, and then like yeah.
So that's gonna be cool.
This is awesome. I mean, it looks like for once Zimbabweans have actually supported each other. For once,
yeah. This is
cool. No, the second time after.
I just hope I don't make a pasta video. Yeah, I'm worried because I've been doing these Facebook live items. So yeah, I might say the wrong thing. It's like, yeah, if you can't support comedy and yet you can't tell the old man to go. You haters. What do you have to say to the haters? No comment.
Zimbos have been amazing, to be honest with you. Zimbos and everyone pretty much alike. I think if they continue, and actually that's probably the one thing I'd ask, that if they continue just sending support, because it's not easy. I mean, I probably have it easy because I'm just organizing, but to be funny, and you have to be funny, and he has to be funny, 35 freaking shows in between the travel, the filming, the, you know, just
easily
being
you
himself,
say 35 shows, 7 days, that's 5 shows a day. You know, that's not too bad. Yo, we're not, like,
but when you think about it, it's because you do one big show, one show, which is like now it's, you're exhausted. You would take like a break.
No, we did two interviews. This is the second interview today. I'm tired.
I know.
Like, I want to go home now.
I want to go home. I mean, we the last 2 days, we've been waking up at 5 a.m. Oh, God, it's been ungodly. So now, and he has to still be funny. He has to, I have to make sure I schedule his naps, bruh. Schedule his naps, like,
I'm stealing naps. I'm stealing
it's
naps. Like,
and whatever you can.
I'm like, okay, the film crew aren't watching. I'm dead. I'm gone. Like,
no, but they've been sending
the
love. So
yeah,
keep sending that love.
You know, this is
the whiskey always helps.
I had to go to the beer house and do their beer o'clock yesterday just so I could go to sleep. So they've got like the 12 beer tasting kind of thing. And I'm like, pop, pop, pop. They pop them all back. And then like later on got like totally pissed on and then just passed out. So
that was it.
But you know what? I must say, it would be wrong for us to not say this in the show. We haven't done it alone, hey? We've had, we've had some friends and we've had...
It's shut up time. Yeah. Well, let's shut up time.
No. Let me, I need to shut up. Do shut ups. No, I have to do shut ups. We've had, the guys organized the bus and we have a friend of ours called Archie and he runs a company called My Guy. So literally he's like your guy.
So if you need anything,
he's there, like your guy.
No, I mean like literally.
Like anything. He's like,
dude, like anything.
My guy.
Exactly.
Okay.
So he's a fantastic friend and he's been helping us. He's actually been a help in terms of our sanity because there are moments, I remember halfway through we're organizing cars, like I can't do this.
It's
because
done.
You look at the situation in the country.
I'd recorded a video diary and I was like, I quit.
Yeah, it was just bad. It was.
You should see that the video is like, I'm conflicted of whether or not I want to
should
post
you
it
know,
online.
I mean, people can't withdraw money from the bank. People can't do these things. So you ask yourself, why the hell?
Yeah.
But you have people. We've had people in our lives who've helped us when the going has gotten tough. And it's not in financial, whichever. But it's just really sometimes in just a guys. You're on the right path.
Has any government ministry assisted?
No.
Tourism, arts and culture, nothing.
No.
Where are you all time, Sammy?
I think the problem is that we can't afford the processes that we have to go through in order to try and get that kind of support.
Yeah, the bureaucracy. Because your stuff is time sensitive.
What normally happens is that you have to go through one office that says, in order to get through this office, you need to perform at my birthday or you need to perform
Or there's
at
a secretary who is just bored who say, Fano
Karepas. Yeah. I remember having such a hard time just trying to get a Zimbabwe t-shirt when CNN called me for an interview. The kind of aggro I got.
For
like,
a t-shirt, yeah.
Under what capacity are you speaking to CNN? What are you going to be saying? For this project, I just did not have the time. I literally did not.
Wow.
I have to be wife of a judge because I have to do these shout-outs.
Okay, let's do this.
Well, you diverted.
I know, it was just... Okay,
let's
do
the
show.
We just got into an hour.
So shout-outs, we've got My Guy who's helping us put together. We've got Chef Ankara. Chef Ankara, actually, whenever we get to Harare, he's got this awesome meal set up for us.
We've got a private chef.
Three-course meal. Private chef.
Private chef?
Yeah.
Has a private chef.
Yeah.
No, I've got a private chef.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. So Chef Ankara. No, he's fantastic. When you come to Harare, we're going to take to yourself. Chef Ankara, we've got Solution Center that gave us some really cool gadgets.
Shout out to Walter.
Chargers and everything we could.
Exactly.
This is cool. Solution Center.
Okay.
Who else do we have? We've got, Canon. Canon has actually come on board, so they've been fantastic with equipment. Who else do we have? Who else do we have?
Crystal
Lodge. We've
the
got
the 35 Vic venues that have come on board.
Yeah, Vic Safari Lodge. The 35 venues that have come on board was all these guys have agreed to do it. Gave us the venues for free and are helping us market. Who did printers and stuff? Who else is there, baby?
We had Tattoo.
Tattoo Multimedia. They did all 35. Banners.
Wow.
So they did all 35 of them. Who else? Our friends, Charlene. I'm just giving you a shout out, girl, she's our girl. She's
Soraya has also been awesome.
Soraya,
I'm doing this thing.
Oh yeah, with the
who would you
charities.
Run for? So every time you run, I'm trying to encourage Zimbabweans. When you go to the gym, when you run, dedicate your workout to a charity that you know of. You don't have to give them money. I just want you to give them publicity. So you say today, today was leg day and I did it for.
Yeah, because there are a lot of charities that we actually don't know about.
Exactly.
When you decide to give something, talk about them.
Someone in your circle might want to give them money.
Exactly.
So I'm on that swag of give the charities as much publicity as possible. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm using the world record process. So every time when I'm running, I'm literally, because we've got Zimbabwe Cares, which is a group of people. This woman's just like going out and making noise about these charities, not even taking any money herself.
She's just, yeah.
So she's a runner. She's also a fellow diabetic, and so am I. So yeah. So
shout out to Zim Conversation.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is part of it. Yes, you know, this is part of it. Yeah.
You know, it's such a big deal because it's not like in Zim we're getting much, you know, like airplane.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
So
they really might awesome die of FOMO in one house.
They will definitely be dying of FOMO. This is Cliff Central.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Carl? This is amazing. First of all, I know you're gonna make it. The planning, the coordination. You can't afford not to make it now. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's after the worst
everything,
that could happen.
Yeah, after everything that you've done now, I mean, but anyway, the effort, you know, putting us on the map, like Zimbabwe is really being talked about, you know, everywhere right now. So you're on Expresso earlier. Right. You know,
it was
dope,
yeah.
You know, you're talking about CNN. You know, there are people who are watching and, you know, Zimbabwe needs some good publicity for once, just once.
And also to break other records other than inflationary.
Thank you very much.
Those kind of records, like having 217 in the bank account at one point.
When you know, this is just...
Let's have a record where people are like,
there's actually something. Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No one wants the DVD for the inflation.
And we never we don't support each other, which is a very bad thing. We hope we have tried to support you as much as possible as Zimbabweans.
That's been awesome. Yeah.
Because you're doing something for the nation. This is awesome, man. Good luck, bro.
Oh, thank you so much, bro.
Keep that energy up.
Yay.
But you know, keep that energy up.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Excellent.
This is Zim Conversations, cliffcentral.com. We had the soon to be legendary Carl Joshua. I'm spicing you up. If I'm not in the video.
My guy.
If I'm not in the video.
No, you talk to the camera, people are like, ciao, my editor, Sasha.
It's a go on. And the wife, Nelson Mube.
Thank you so
much. They're on the road. They're about to do something really, really big. You know, the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
And we had them here on cliffcentral.com. Zim Conversations.
Thank
the
you.
Immigrants were out. Travel safe, guys.
Yeah. Bye.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.